Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. This morning's gospel: the power of the Lord was present to heal. We're told that the Pharisees and the scribes were around Christ, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And then we're told about a man who his friends brought him, opened up the roof, lowered him, and said they placed him just so that they might lay him at the feet of Christ, or lay him before Christ. And then Jesus does the true act of healing. Most people tend to focus on the fact that Jesus raised the paralyzed man from his bed, right? That's what we tend to think the miracle is. But Jesus looks at him and says, after he saw that they had faith, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. They brought a paralyzed man before Jesus, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus gave the healing that this person was truly in need of: forgiveness of sins. And it was only when the Pharisees and scribes saw and they didn't believe, they're like, and they began to question Jesus, like, who are you? What do you think? Like, how could you say to someone, your sins are forgiven you? And Jesus said, just so that you know the Son of Man has power, take up your bed and walk. But the healing, the true healing, the underlying healing, the true need, if you will, was your sins are forgiven you. And this promise is a promise that Jesus says to us: your sins are forgiven you. And the power of the Lord is present to heal us. We like to think, by the way, that when we hear truth, that we accept it. Like, we all like to think that we're rational beings, right? We all like to, like, say, yeah, if I heard that, I would have believed. If I was there, I would have, for sure, without question, believed what Jesus had said. You know, our Lord gives so many promises to us throughout Scripture. But I just want to focus this morning on the promise of your sins are forgiven you. Because there's five different responses that we may, just like we saw today, respond to that promise: your sins are forgiven you. Number one, like the Pharisees and scribes, we may begin by criticizing it, criticizing the truth. Like, hold on, but wait, not that person. You don't know what they did, but hold on, wait a second. Lord, my sins are really bad. You don't know what I've done. I've fallen into this again. Lord is saying, your sins are forgiven you. You're saying, but really, like, Lord, are you really going to forgive me? Like, there's this sense of criticism that we have in that promise that Jesus is saying, my power is present. I'm able to heal you. I'm able to extend forgiveness. And we say, no, but hold on. My sins are really bad. And what are we saying when we say that? Why do I say it's a criticism? Because what we're doing is we're putting our sin above the power of God to extend healing and forgiveness. It's not so much a focus on ourselves as what we're saying is, Lord, my sins are too big for you. So that's the first way sometimes we respond to that promise of forgiveness. And by the way, one of the ways that we may evidence that even in our own lives is that we continue to live in bondage to a specific sin that we have confessed, and we continue to live in bondage to this pseudo guilt in our minds that God has not really forgiven me. So that's the first. The second, I want to break down the crowds to the crowds and then those who got themselves into the house. Because we're told that there was so much crowd that the four friends couldn't get the paralyzed man to the feet of Jesus. Okay? So the second way we approach is like the outer crowd, if you will. We just want to be there to observe it. Just the outer crowd, some just want to witness it. Some just want to say, like, they want to see the show, right? They want to see the show. At the very end of the gospel that we read this morning, it says, they responded, "We have seen strange things today." Like, everyone wants to see a cool miracle. Everyone wants to see, like, a magic show, right? Everyone wants to see something that seems miraculous. But it stops at that. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." And then we see someone who used to walk a certain way, who used to live in sin, and then their life was changed. And we're just happy sitting there and observing and saying, wow, God is working in that person's life over there. That's remarkable. We all like seeing a good story. We all like to see God working in other people's lives. It's kind of neat, right? Someone, like, there was a miracle that happened and people love to share miracles. Oh, and I saw this and I saw icons dripping and I saw St. Mary appearing and did you hear this person was healed? And did you hear? And, like, people like to observe strange and neat things. And even with forgiveness, we like to observe it with other people's lives. Wow, that person was living as a sinner. And then their life changed. And that's not bad. We're not criticizing. But there's a layer that we want to get to that's a little bit more, or quite a bit more. The third is not the outer crowd, but the inner crowd. We want to be close. We want to be close, but just close enough. We want to be close, but just close enough. So some people want to be forgiven, but not too forgiven. Okay? Because if we're too forgiven, what does that mean? If I'm too forgiven, then I've got to turn away from my sin. Right? So I want to be forgiven enough to where I can show up to confession and confess my sin and then come back, like, you know, a couple few months later. So I want to be forgiven, but not too forgiven. Because if I'm too forgiven, then I've really got to walk away from my sin. Right? I've really got to arise, take up my bed and walk. So some people in the inner crowd, they really wanted to be there. The power was present. Some people want to be close. They want to observe. They want to see. They want forgiveness, but not too much forgiveness. The fourth group are the friends. Like the four friends, some will pursue it for the sake of others. Some will hear a great sermon. And I'm not saying that this was the motivation. I believe the friends had encountered Christ. Okay? And that's the reason, because of their own encounter, they brought their friend. But let's just stay with me for this. Some will be like a friend who will say, "Oh, well, I heard a sermon today. I need to send this to my friend, to my niece, to my parent, to my child, to my sibling." Sometimes we will pursue it, pursue the truth for the sake of others. We like the truth because we know that it can help change other people. But, you know, like, we've got it up here, but we know it's really powerful. And so, but we want other people to experience it. Maybe we have a difficult person in our life. Right? Maybe we have someone who's hard to deal with. And that person really needs Jesus in their life. And if they just get a little bit more Jesus in their life, they'll be easier to deal with. So sometimes we pursue Christ for the sake of others because we want to, you know, we want other people's lives to be changed. And that's good after all, isn't it? On some level, it's good. But there's another layer, which is the man who is paralyzed. And the man who was paralyzed experienced forgiveness. He encountered it. He was released. He was freed. And the evidence of that is when he was told, take up your bed and walk, he did so. He was free to do. He was liberated from his past. He was freed to walk. And you betcha that man went around telling everyone that he had been freed. He must have kept that mat that he was carrying around or that he was lowered down. So you know that mat right there? That's from my past. People would come over and he would say, you want to know? I'm a free man. You want to know the evidence of it? That Jesus freed me? Look at that mat. That was the one. You guys heard that? That was the one. He encountered it. He was no longer defined by it. It simply was used to reveal the glory of God in his life. I tell you, friends, that so many of us fall within the first four categories when it comes to this promise, your sins are forgiven you. But this morning, the Lord is saying, my power is present to heal you. My power is present to heal you. Your sins are forgiven you. Be liberated. Be freed. You're not defined by that mat. You're not defined by the criticisms that you may invoke within your own mind on yourself or that others may look at you and invoke on you. It's not enough to just observe the power of God. It's not just enough to point others to Christ. Christ is saying, my power is present to heal you. And this morning, as we continue through liturgy, I encourage you as you stand to come and stand before the Lord and confess your sin before him and hear his voice saying to you, your sins are forgiven you. So that when you walk out of here today through your union with Christ and the mercy and the grace of God, you're walking out of here as a person who's truly walking upright. You're no longer being carried around. You're walking upright. You're walking free. You're liberated from your past. You're no longer defined by those past sins. Those things that you can't change. The Lord is saying, I forgive you. Will you believe the promise? The evidence of that is not just a head nod this morning. The evidence of that is how you walk out of here today. And the evidence of that is how you'll be walking through this coming week and weeks. But it begins as you stand before the Lord this morning and you embrace the promise that his power is present to heal us and to liberate us from our sin. All glory be to his name forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.